The name of the message is this, the friendship test, the friendship test. And I'm going to preach a little before I have you stand and talk and read with me, all right? But folks, listen to me. Prayer is a byproduct. And when you understand that, then prayer becomes easy. Prayer is a byproduct. Sometimes people say, well, you know what I want to do? I want to focus in this area of my life, and I want to work on this, and I want to try to become better in my prayer life. I'm going to tell you this, you're focusing on the wrong thing. Because if you'll focus, here's the entire message. I'm going to give it to you right now in a sentence, and then, well, I don't give you the whole thing in a sentence, because then you're going to want to go home. But you know what? If you'll make the goal that I'm going to be a friend of God, I'm going to make God my friend. Communication is just a natural part of friendship. And so we're going to talk to you about that. Is Jesus your friend? Is Jesus your friend? The friendship test. John chapter number 15. Let's all stand, please. We'll look at verse number 9. Read down through verse number 17. The friendship test. John chapter number 15 and verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, ye may give. He may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we take a test this morning. Lord, first of all, we're going to take the scriptures and we're going to test our God in this matter of friendship. And then, Lord, we're going to take that same criteria and we're going to turn around and take a test, each and every one of us. Lord, I've studied it, and I think probably everybody in here already knows it, but you will pass this test with flying colors because you are a great God. Lord, I pray, dear God, that as we see what a friend you have been to us, it would inspire us and motivate us, urge us to want to be a better friend towards you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I love to tell this story. I love to tell this story. By the way, children's workers, let me applaud you. Let me thank you for just a minute. I have no doubt that there's Sunday school teachers that are teaching very young children that sometimes at the conclusion of a Sunday school hour think, did anybody get anything? Did they get anything that I said? Are we really just wasting our time? I mean that. I know how the devil works. I will tell you this. I thank God that my mom and dad got me in church when I was still primary age. Sister Stephanie Walton right now is down in church dealing with primary children. Some of your children are being taught by her. And I can tell you this. Whether or not they do it consciously or subconsciously, their lives will carry forth and will retain the truths that they're hearing on a regular basis in that class down there. Brother Chad Gordon and many others are helping out in the junior church right now. And again, I'm sure he has those Sundays where he wonders, did anyone get anything? But I will tell you this, having been raised in church from my childhood, I'm amazed at how many key moments and key things happened, not in a preaching service like this, but in a children's ministry, in a Sunday school class. Thank you, Sunday school teachers. Thank you. Children's church workers. Thank you, Sister Walton. Thank you, Brother Chad Gordon and all those that helped them. Because I promise you this, whether consciously or subconsciously, those young people, I mean, they're little sponges, and I promise you, folks, they are retaining much of what you are teaching them, sometimes even when it looks like they didn't get much at all. I have stories like I can tell you this morning because of faithful children's workers. But I thank God for a preacher who preached the gospel to my family when my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sister, and myself were all lost. I thank God for a faithful preacher that preached, but I also thank God for a faithful pastor's wife, Mrs. Evans, that would corral us kids and take us back into the back room and teach the Word of God on our level so that we could better absorb it and understand it. And she would take us back there. A lot of times she'd use flannel graphs. Sometimes she'd use a little storybooks. And sometimes she'd just use something, some thought, something that she felt like would get a point across, and hopefully we'd be able to retain it. And I'm sure that through much prayer and consideration, she did that. And by the way, I want to say this to you parents. Those of you that have your children in church and they're young, listen, God bless you. I mean that. Keep your kids in church. Keep them in church. The honest, sad truth is that the vast majority of children in the United States of America are being raised with little or no Bible influence in their life at all. Okay, there's more kids home in Green, Sullivan, Clay County right now than there are in Sunday school. And a lot of kids are being raised up with no knowledge of the Bible. They're not being taught. They don't know the stories of the Bible. And because of that, watch this, they're not getting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And children are not getting saved at that tender age when they're most likely to get saved. So I congratulate you parents that are doing that. Keep with it. Stick with it. I went to children's church as a little boy. The teacher set us in a semicircle. Mrs. Evans walks up in front of us and she said, I want to ask you a question before we begin the lesson. I want to know who your best friend is. And I'm going to start over here, and I want you to think a minute. I want you to tell me who your very, very best friend is. And she started, and one at a time, the children would think real hard, and they'd look around the room. Some of them would call other kids' names that were in the room. Someone would talk about somebody that lived in the neighborhood, or brother or sister, or some classmate in their school. And she went all the way around, and everyone chose somebody, and then she looked so distraught. And you could tell she was upset. I mean, almost on the verge of tears. And you know, when that happens and you're a little kid and your teacher starts acting like that, you start thinking, oh my goodness sakes, we've messed up. What do? We did something wrong. And she began to almost wail about what a horrible teacher she was. I cannot believe I failed you kids. And we're just looking at each other. She said, I've taught you all these weeks, all these months, and I come in here and not one of you said that your best friend is Jesus Christ. Now, that made an impression on me. Here I am these many years later, far removed from that situation, and yet I still remember that, still remember her teaching us, still remember that unique angle she used to put that in our hearts. Now, watch this, folks. Let me tell you what that accomplished in my life at a young age. And I'm not saying that from that point on, I got it. But she put the seed in my heart about this. And I kind of grew up from that point on with the idea that Jesus was supposed to be my best friend. He was supposed to be my best friend. Now, if I was to do the same thing that Mrs. Evans did without telling you that story first, and I started here and went through the entire auditorium, sadly, if we all were honest, sadly, many of us would have to call out a human name and say, the best friend I have is this person here. And you say, well, preacher, that must be God's fault. No, I'm going to show you that it's not. Because I'm going to come up here today and try to use the scriptures to convince you of one thing. Jesus wants to be your best friend. And he has been the best friend to you that anybody could ever be. Let me tell you something about friendship. Watch this. Friendship sometimes is a one-way street. And friendship sometimes is a two-way street. All right, you know the difference. How many of you are close to getting your driver's license? You're going to get it pretty soon. Okay, so you know the difference, right? Please tell me you know the difference, all right? One-way street, two-way street. How many of you, come on, tell the truth. If you're lying, you're dying. You've driven the wrong way on a one-way street sometime in your life. All right, okay, the vast majority of us have managed to do that. All right, so that's why you don't let Greene County people go to Indianapolis. Or you know what? Really don't even want them going to Terre Haute that often, you know, because we'll end up wrong way on a one-way street. But friendship is either a two-way street or a one-way street. And you know what? In many instances, friendship sometimes is a one-way street. For instance, there's been people in my life, and by the way, it's fine. I think you got to get used to this. If you're going to be like the Lord, you have to be used to this because, as I'm going to say in just a minute, he's provided one-way friendship to this world, and in most instances, it's not a two-way street. Okay? He's loved us, and sadly, very few turn around and love him. But I think One of the things in life that you've got to develop if you're going to minister to people and help people is the understanding that sometimes people need a friend who don't want to be a friend. Okay? And a very selfish approach to that is this. Well, here's what elementary kids say, and sadly sometimes adults. Well, I'll be their friend if they'll be my friend. Boy, if that's what God said to us, we'd be all on our way to a devil's hell. I mean, somebody's got to care for somebody who's not yet in a place where they can care back. And somebody's got to care for people that sometimes will never return it. And I think really a human being comes close to being like God in this area when they learn to invest in people with no hope of a return. Isn't that what Jesus said? And to care about people that maybe won't care back. And to love people that maybe will never love back. I think that that's pretty much what the Lord did for us. So there are people in my life where I have invested in them and shown friendship to them, biblical friendship to them, and you know what? They never returned it. But you know what? I never felt like that it was a wasted investment. I just never did. Because I feel like, you know what? If they needed a friend, even if they don't want to be a friend, if they needed a friend, you know what? That's all right, Lord. I'll be glad to do that. And I hope that you have that in your hearts also. But if you do that enough times through life, you know what? Eventually, God's going to knit your heart to people, some people who will return that. And you know what? I just always look at that as a bonus. Sometimes I've been a friend to somebody, and at some point, they return that friendship to me. But you know what? Even if it had never happened, I still should have done the right thing by reaching out and being a friend to them, because that is the example of God. Now, I want to talk to you about the friendship, not horizontally. I want to talk to you about this friendship that's available with the Lord. Now, we're talking about prayer. It's not going to seem like for a while we're talking about prayer, but we're talking about prayer. Because I promise you this, folks, prayer will become a very natural and normal thing in your life if you develop a friendship with the Lord. The whole concept, the whole idea of having the opportunity to be a friend of God. It was said of Abraham that he was a friend of God. You say, well, preacher, but that's Abraham. Well, God's no respecter of persons. He can't, because of his nature, offer to one man what he won't offer to somebody else. And not only that, we see this reaffirmed in the scriptures we just read. Jesus is offering friendship. He says, listen, you're not just my servants. I don't want you to just be my servants. I want you to be my friends. And then we have his great example in reaching out and extending friendship in hopes that some might return it back. Now, folks, let me say this. All that the Lord has offered to the people on this earth, there ought to be a handful of people. Hey, let's just make it the congregation of Blessed Hope Baptist Church that ought to turn around and say, Lord, you've been a friend to me. I want to turn around and be a friend back to you. Now, let's give the friendship test real quickly. And let's first of all, make sure scripturally that the preacher's right and that Jesus has proved his friendship to us. There's three questions that I ask when I think about the friendship test. There's three questions that I ask. Listen to them very carefully. Watch this. According to the Bible and the Bible definition of friendship, three things have to be involved. Number one, does he love me? Is Jesus my friend? Here's the answer to the first question. Here's the first question. Is Jesus my friend? Well, how do I know the answer to that? Well, ask three questions. Does he love me? The Bible says this, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That word commended, but God commendeth his love toward us. When I'm sharing that in my Romans Road presentation, I almost always turn around and look at the person and say, that word commendeth means proved. He proved his love to us. Does he love me? Yes. He doesn't just say he did. He proved it. You see, the answer to this question, does he love me, is this. This he proved by sacrifice. Words are cheap, young people. You better figure it out. Young ladies, you better figure it out. Words are cheap. Some bum can look at you and say, I love you, but he don't mean it. And you know what? He doesn't really love you, because he's not willing to sacrifice for you. And you know what? Watch this. The proof of love is sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave. And so I know that Jesus loved me because of all that he sacrificed for me. God commended or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, when we didn't love God, when we weren't interested in God, when we didn't care about God, he sent Jesus Christ to die for us anyway. So does he love us? Yes, 100 times yes. Here's the second question. Does he show himself friendly? Now watch this, because this is very important. Does he love me? This he proved by sacrifice. Does he show himself friendly? Now, where do you get that question, preacher? The Bible says this, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, Proverbs 18:24. Does he show himself friendly? This he proves through communication. Now, stay with me. If you love someone, you want to be a friend to somebody, it's impossible to have a friendship without communication. All right, so let me give an example, okay? Lucas, can I have you and Dalton come up here, all right? Now, Dalton, I'm going to have you stand over there, okay? And Dalton, come on up here. I'm going to have you stand right here by me. Let's suppose Dalton is a first-time visitor here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, and I spot him, you know, and he just came to church the first time. And so I stop over and I say, hey, Lucas, I noticed that young man, Dalton. I just met him, and you know what? I want you to listen. He's brand new here. He doesn't know anybody. I need you to go over and be a friend to him, okay? I want you to walk over and stand beside him, but don't say anything. Okay, that's not friendship, that's creepy. All right, if somebody around the church just comes over and kind of stands near you and kind of stares. Now wait a minute, come back here, all right? Hey, were you a friend to him? Were you a friend to him? No. You know why? Because in order to develop a friendship, you must show yourself. And you know how you show yourself friendly? Through communication. Through communication, all right? You go ahead and be seated with your new convert there, your new visitor. Now watch this. I'm going to just give you this, and I got to do it quick. But you know what? God, if God has not, listen, God's not failed at anything, but if he's gone over and above in one area, he's gone over and above in this, and that is he communicates his love and his care and his friendship to us. God's great at communication. A husband and wife who are not only a husband and wife, but also are friends, watch this, are good communicators. A mother who has a great relationship with their children, a children with the mother, there has to be good communication. A dad that's got the right relationship with the children, there's got to be good communication. Almost in every relationship that is good, I don't care if it's an employer-employee, if they have a good relationship, they've got good communications. Now watch this. God has communicated to us and speaks to us in so many different ways, folks. Matter of fact, if we just stop, turn off the stinking technology, turn off the stinking cell phone, turn off the stinking iPods, turn off all the other stuff, and just listen. God is communicating with us. He's communicated to us through creation. The Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed against heaven, from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know what the Bible is saying here? God's creation communicates to us his presence. You know why God made all this beautiful earth? So that we can enjoy it. You know, when we look at it, what we ought to be thinking? How much God loves us. He communicates to us through his creation. He communicates to us through his mighty works. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. 6 different times in Psalms 107, we read this verse, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now watch this. I look around at creation, I should hear the voice of God. If I look at the works of God, I should be reminded of God's friendship and his love to us. And an exciting thing, folks, if you'll just begin to pay attention to it, and if you weren't here for Christmas Eve, some of you were traveling, I don't say this a lot, get online, listen to the Christmas Eve service, but I promise you this, many, many times God will show himself strong and reveal himself in some unusual thing that he does, where all you can do is stop and just say, there is a God. And so God communicates through his creation. He communicates through his works. He communicates to us through his word. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I look at God's creation and he's communicating to me. I watch his marvelous works and he's communicating to me. I read his word and I hear his voice. These are the words of God. Psalms 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And God not only delivered his words to us, he has preserved them to all generations. God said, I will take custodial care of the very words, and I will get them to every generation. That's exciting to me. Little boy up here on the front row before church started, I went over to shake his hand, and boy, you know what he wanted to show me? He wanted to show me the Bible that his Sunday school teacher had gotten for him. Thank you, Sunday school teachers. I mean that. Just a small Bible about this size, just wonderful size for him to be able to carry. Boy, he wanted to show it to me and all of this. Man, that's you know what? The B-I-B-L-E, so preacher, why is that the Sunday school theme song? Because that's what this Sunday school hour is all about. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. These are the very words of God. These are the very words of God. Now stay with me on this. He communicates through creation. He communicates through his mighty works. He communicates as I read his word. He communicates through to me through his availability. He proves his friendship through his availability. The Bible says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what? 4:30 this morning, God was available. I know, because I was up talking to him, amen. My stomach was talking to me and I was talking to the Lord, amen. But he was available. There's no place he's not available. There's no time he's not available. And you know what? He makes himself totally available. What is he proving by doing that? He's proving to us his friendship. Does he love me? We go into the Bible and find out, yes, he's proved it. Does he show himself friendly? Through his creation, through his works, through his word, through his availability, through his Holy Spirit. Now, after a while, folks, come on. We keep piling up the evidence here. God made it so that if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he then sends the Holy Spirit, a member of the triune God, to live inside of you. Why? To communicate with you, to show himself friendly to you. So let me wrap all this up, this point. Think about it. I can go out of a morning and look out and see God's creation and hear his voice. I can see his mighty works, and you know what? He's reaching out to me. He's showing me these things. He's communicating with me. I go into his word and I read, and I'm I get a chance to communicate with him. He offers access to the throne of grace so I can go in and communicate with him. Are you listening to me? Are you watching this? And he's given me of his spirit to communicate with. What I'm saying is this. I want to be able to stand up for the Lord and say, hey, let me answer this question for you, church. Is Jesus your friend? Yes, he's your friend. How do you know he's your friend? He loves you. How do you know he's your friend? Because he goes out of his way to show himself friendly unto you. Question number 3, ultimate test here of friendship. Was he willing to die for me? Now watch this. True friend. Greater love, John 15, 13, we read it. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now watch this. Does he love me? Does Jesus pass the test? Does he show himself friendly to me? Oh my goodness sakes. Absolutely. Was he willing to die for me? I mean, you know what? Let's rest the case. Folks, let's give him an A++++++++. All right, if there's anything more than 100%, he gets it. God, without a doubt, has provided a one-way street of friendship towards every... And you say, preacher, that's for somebody else. No, that's for you. Oh, I understand why he would love them, but you don't understand. I'm different. No, it's for you. It's for you. I want you to personalize this. He loves you. He shows himself friendly to you. He died for you. He wants to be your friend. He's done everything he can on his side. But in many, many lost people's lives, when all lost people's life and many Christian life, that's a one-way street. Okay, preacher, we put God to the test. He passed. Do we use the same three questions to test our friendship back to him? Absolutely. Absolutely. The first question is Jesus my friend? The second question is this, am I a friend to Jesus? Am I a friend to Jesus? Well, what's the questions to the test, preacher? Do I love him? We ask, does he love me? Yes, but do I love him? You say, well, yes, preacher, wait a minute. He proved it by sacrifice. And you know what? That's the same litmus test that we must gauge our love by. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this is very important. Folks, you know why we don't pray? You know why we start to pray and don't keep praying? You know why we've tried 15 different programs and 17 different prayer lists and 18 different schedules and yet we do not pray? I'll tell you why. Because you'll never get to the communication with God until you pass the first question, and that's this: do you love him? Do you love him? If you love him, you prove it by sacrifice. I'm sorry, words are cheap. Sorry. 53 years old. I've heard a lot of people say a lot of things. I'm not impressed by words. All right, you can flap your jaws till you're blue in the face. You know what? You can say how much you love Jesus. You can talk about it all you want. You know what God's interested in? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Let me ask you, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Are you willing today, as a Christian, a saved person, to present your body as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto God? I don't care what any of this new brand of Christianity, they can blow their horn and beat their chest and get on these websites and say everything they want to, but you do not, listen, part of sacrifice is holiness. And be not, the Bible goes on, and be not conformed to this world. If you're a Christian and you're conforming to the world, don't tell me you love Jesus. Okay, because love is proved through sacrifice. And you know what? A person who's willing to lay themselves upon the altar and to present their body a holy sacrifice acceptable unto God, the Bible says it's your reasonable service. What I'm preaching here this morning is not unreasonable. What God is asking is not unreasonable. Hey, guess what, Christian young people? You're not supposed to talk like the world. You're not supposed to look like the world. You're not supposed to walk around with the world's attitude. You're not supposed to do these things. You're not supposed to be involved in the worldly activities and the sinful activities. And you know what? If you do, don't walk around telling me how much you love Jesus, because you know what? You don't. And God still offers you friendship. But you know what? He offers it as a one-way street as you go about doing whatever you want to do. Shame on you. Shame on you. And you know what? If we're going to get to the mountain of prayer, then if we're going to get to the top of the mountain, we got to figure this out. You tell them young people, preacher, let's talk to the adults for a minute. Where are they learning worldliness out? What's on your TV at home? What movies find their way into your house? What kind of music's being listened to in your house? What kind of dress standards are you parading in front of them and showing them examples of? What I'm saying is this, watch this. This whole idea of, oh, you know what, preacher, you're right. I want to get to the mountain. You know, everybody wants to be on the mountaintop until they figure out how hard it is to climb. Now, preacher, I thought maybe you had one of those ski lifts where I could just kind of set, you know, and just not have to change anything or make any effort or do anything. And man, just go, we'll be on top of 12 mountains. You want to climb some mountains, you know what? It's going to take some effort. And you really want to get on top of that mountain. You really want to get on the top of the mountain of prayer, then you know what? It's time that we developed a friendship. Because, folks, watch this. Watch this. If you develop a friendship with Jesus, prayer is as natural as breathing. I promise you it's true. Prayer's not an issue after that. Watch this. Do I love him? This I prove by sacrifice. Watch this. Do I show myself friendly? This I prove through communication. Now watch this. If you answer the first question, do I love him? And you're honest about it. And if you haven't sacrificed your body a living sacrifice, if you aren't willing to turn your back on this world, if you're not willing to have your mind and your thinking renewed by the scriptures, if you're not willing to pursue the perfect will of God, good and acceptable and perfect will of God, then the honest truth is, question number two, you failed the first one, you're going to fail the second one. Do I show myself friendly to God? Now here's a great question. Do I show myself friendly to God? Okay, let me have the same two guys come up here. I'm going to show you something, all right? Get in the place you were before. All right, we had this guy. No, over here, Lucas. All right, thank you very much. And now this guy's no longer a first-time visitor at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lost in his sins. We're gonna give you a big promotion from that, okay? What about this matter of developing a friendship with the Lord? All right? If you want to, listen, he's been a friend to you. Now I want you to be a friend to him. So how are you going to be a friend? I want you to be a friend to God. For some reason, we think it's different because you're talking about a human being, preacher. Now you're talking about God. Friendship's friendship. And so I say to the new Christian, I say, I'm glad that you're a child of God, and you're a child of God because you're saved. I want you to be a friend of God. Now, why don't you go over there and be a friend of God? All right, do the same thing you did the first time. Just stand there. Come back. Say, how's it going? You feeling anything yet? Nothing rolling? All right. And that's how we... Listen, that's how we live most every day of our lives. And I want the light to come. I just pray a light comes on here. I want to just ask you a question. I'm not talking about this fake, you know, usher prayers. Who did I ask to pray today? Was that you? Yeah, those fake memorized Nathan Walton prayers. I don't know. I'm not talking about that vain repetition that... I'm not talking about all that stuff, you know, just utters, you know, just memorized ditties that he never, it doesn't come from the heart. I'm not talking about that. And you know what? Sadly, you say, oh, preacher, I pray. Oh, what? Oh, really? When do you pray? Oh, before I eat. Really? Go ahead. Let me have you stand up right now, and why don't you just give me your little memorized Catholic prayer? Because that's all it is. You don't even think about it. And some of you might. But the average Christian just falls into a, amen. You ever ask your kids to pray? I mean, if they're very old now, they got the same exact prayer, and you know what? It's they say it fast with no meaning, no heart, no anything. They're you know what? You might as well just hand them rosary beads. Come on now. What I'm saying is, you know what? Watch this. If somebody came to this church and I walked over, you know what? When we train young people to go soul winning, you know the biggest. Listen, they need to be trained so they know what to say, but sometimes all they do is become robots where they're just heartlessly repeating a bunch of blah, 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 and the people sitting there going, what is this? Here's what I want to get to you. You know how to build a friendship with God? Get real with him. Get real with him. Now, first of all, folks, if you're going to build a friendship, notice the first thing that had to happen. Come back over here. First thing I had to happen was I said this. Why don't you go over there beside him? See, what we want to do is we want to stand over here in our worldliness, in our sin, and we want God to come down to the pig pen and sit and commune with us. You know where the Father's at?
Yes, sir.
He's where you, watch this, he's where you left him.
Yes, sir.
So the first thing you got to do if you're going to communicate with him is you got to get close to him. You got to start closing the gap. Now watch this. I mean this with all of my heart. I'm going to show you something that's so real. I remember as a teenager not having a prayer life, not having any kind of a meaningful prayer life. Saved? Yeah, I was saved. No doubt in my heart about it, but I mean honestly for months, maybe years, never having a meaningful conversation with the Lord and hearing a message like this, and literally the first time that I went out in the woods by myself and stood there, you know, if I tell one of our teenagers, hey, go over there and introduce you to that person and talk to them, try to be a friend to them. The honest truth is, it's very awkward at first because you don't know them. I mean, it is. It's hard. It's hard to get to know somebody. You know, just okay, but I don't know them. I know. Go be friendly. Go say hi. Go introduce yourself. Go talk about something. And so you kind of walk over, and you're just like, you know, like. I don't usually boss God around. I'll just tell you that right now. Now, the honest truth is, I walked out in the woods one day. I want some of you to get this. You want to be on the top of this mountain? Or you just want to keep this plastic, fake little Christianity thing going? You know, a little memorized, whatever. Why don't you go out in the woods? Why don't you be driving from work sometime this week and just say, and literally, this is what I said, Lord, it's Jerry. I almost feel like I had to introduce myself. I'm like, you know, the honest truth is that preacher's right. I don't talk to you. Not real. I got my little memorized stuff. I'm sure you're sick of that. Lord, I don't even know really where to begin, except I know I need you. And I want to return a little bit of what you've given me. You've been a friend. You loved me. You sacrificed. You proved it by sacrifice. And you've shown yourself friendly. I mean, all the ways you try to communicate to me, all the different ways you've tried to communicate to me, with me. And the honest truth is, I'm glad for it, but I don't return it. So, Lord, I'm going to try to talk to you here and do the best I can. You help me. But I want us to talk. I'm all for morning devotions, but morning devotions is not walking with God. Morning devotions to most young people is another homework assignment. I'll read these many chapters and read through this little list, and then I'll go about my morning devotions. Reading your Bible and praying in the morning is an opening a conversation with God that ought to last throughout the daytime. So you mentioned a minute ago about praying this prayer like 1,000 or 10,000 times or something through the next year. Good night. Folks, you know how many times it ought to be normal and natural for us to be facing something that we can't do on our own and say, Lord, give me this mountain. Somebody asked me one time, what's the prayer you pray the most? And I said, I pray this prayer, help me, Lord. That's the prayer I pray more than any other prayer, help me, Lord. Well, you know why? Because I face stuff all the time that I am not capable of doing by myself. I'm not wise enough to handle by myself. I'm not smart enough to know how to do it by myself. I don't have the strength to face it by myself. Help me, Lord! And you know what? I think he likes hearing it. I think he likes hearing it. You like hearing it? See, I told you. He likes hearing it, so you got to be seated. What I'm saying is this, folks, this great matter of prayer, we're going to climb this mountain this year. You want to take the trip with us? Am I a friend of Jesus? Do I love him? I can only say that I do if I'm willing to prove it by sacrifice. Do I show myself friendly to him? I prove it through communication. I prove it through prayer. I can't be a creator like he was. I have no creation, but I can sure be blessed by his creation. The one thing I can do is I can pray. Here's the third and last question we're done. Am I willing to die for him? Am I willing to die for him? Now think about that. Is Jesus a friend to me? Well, let's make sure he passes the test. Does he love me? Yes, he proved it by sacrifice. Does he show himself friendly? He proves it through communication. Was he willing to die for me? He proved it at Calvary. Am I a friend to Jesus? Do I love him? I must prove it through sacrifice. Do I show myself friendly to him? I must prove it through prayer. Number three, am I willing to die for him? What a question. No greater love hath the man than he's willing to lay down his life for his friends. All right, come on, there's the question. You say, preacher, what do you mean? You don't mean die. I do. Am I willing to die for him? This I prove by dying. Die to self? Die to sin? Die to this world? Watch this. And if it's called upon, if it's thrust upon me, give my life. Hey, here's a book you ought to read. It's called Fox's Book of Martyrs. And there's been people that have had to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, preacher, if I was asked upon to give my life for Jesus, I'd do it. Let me just tell you this, and I think that what I'm going to say, if you'll think about it, is not too harsh. If you won't die to self, you won't die for Jesus. If you won't die to sin, you won't die for Jesus. If you won't die to this world, you won't die for Jesus. So the way that I prepare myself, if it's ever necessary for me to die for him, the way I prepare myself and prove to him that I'm willing to do that is not by dying physically, it's by dying to self, dying to sin, and dying to this world. Am I a friend to Jesus? Watch this. And I'll close with this story. When you all were so kind and had that special Sunday for me and my wife's 30th wedding anniversary and our 20th anniversary of being here, one of the people that showed up at that service was one of my old bus girls. Her name was Maria Vega. And if you remember Maria, she came up, and one of the first things she said was, when Brother Jerry first became my bus captain, remember what she said? She said, I didn't like him. She had a very, very, very good bus captain, very good, that reached her for the Lord and discipled her, him and his wife. And I mean, they were the real deal. And she built a strong relationship with them. And they graduated from Bible college and left. And it devastated, 14-year-old girl devastated her. And then, you know, here comes podunk holler, Jerry Ross, you know, to take their place. And that's the way she looked at it. He's here to take their place. I'm not going to let anybody take their place. And she saw me as almost a threat. She couldn't like me. She couldn't love me because she loved them so much. I got it. Okay. I figured out real quick what was going on. And you know what I did? I talked up those people. Boy, some of you be wise to do this. You know, you don't have to destroy the love that somebody else has for someone else in order to feel like you are. Listen, she was the thing that was important, not whether or not I felt loved. And what I'm saying, some of you need to get. It's not about you. It's about that person. So here's a girl that wasn't willing to give me anything. No friendship, no like, no love, nothing. So you know what I did? I seen, here's a girl that needs a one-way street for a while. So you know what I did? I was good to her and encouraging to her. And now watch this. That went on for a long time. I've never had this conversation with Maria, so I'm going to tell you what I believe happened. I've never had this conversation with Maria. I don't want to speak for her. After I was her bus captain for about 6 months, we were taking these kids home one time on a Sunday night. And we would drive after the church was dismissed in Hammond. We would load the kids up about 9 o'clock, 9:30, drive up into Chicago and take them home. So we're dropping just about 45 minutes or an hour to her bus route and then dropping everybody off. We had a lot of teenagers and adults drop off. So we'd get to her house very late, about 11 o'clock, 11, 11:30, we'd get to her house to drop her off. We pull up in front of her house one Sunday night, and in a bad neighborhood, really bad neighborhood. A lot of gang activity. And as we pull up to a stop in front of her house, somebody from the alleyway, there was a vacant lot across from her house and then a building, and somebody was sitting in that alleyway, and they took a gun and they shot at the bus. And that bullet went right through the window above Maria's head. Now, I'm going to talk about the lady that was standing right here, through that window and out that window. And I heard the shot, saw the glass, and figured out immediately what had happened. And was able to discern where the shot came from pretty close. And I'm standing at the front of the bus. She's about two-thirds back on the way back on the bus over here. And I kicked that door open and took off down that out of that bus. And I'll be honest with you, this wasn't anything spiritual going on right now. I was mad. I mean, I was in a killing mood. You know why? Because somebody I love, somebody took a shot at him. And I took off that bus, and I ran across that vacant lot. I knew pretty much, once I got off, I could tell pretty much where it must have come from. And I hear my brother David running behind me. He's as dumb as I am. And Lou D. Philip Antonio run behind him because Lou's slow and fat, you know. Either that or he's smart, figuring two bullets take me and you out. See what happens, you know, I don't know. And by the time I got over there, whoever did it was gone. But man, I mean, I was cooking. I mean, I was about 20 years old, and you know what? I had a Jesse McCammon temper, and I mean, I was not. Matter of fact, I had your temper on steroids back in those days. I mean, when I lost it, it wasn't pretty. And I come back to that bus, and I was so hot. From that day forward, our relationship changed. I never had this conversation with her. I said, "Preacher, where was it?" I don't know. I've never asked her. I'm going to tell you what I think. I think that the day she saw that I was willing to give my life for her, all of the barriers between me and her went away. Now watch this. I'm telling you, Jesus did give his life for you. He wasn't just willing to, he did it. And those of you that have these little barriers between you and God and all the reasons you can be bitter and God and mad at God, are you hearing what I just said? He proved it. Can I ask you a question? What more does he have to do for you to prove his love? What is there more than dying? And the minute I believe this, where Calvary becomes real, and you realize that was for you, all of a sudden you're not going to be satisfied anymore with this one-way street relationship. It's time for some of us to head to the woods again. Come on.
Yes, sir.
And stand there a little awkwardly if we have to for a while. It's time for us to get behind the wheel of a car and take a drive by ourselves. Let some tears roll down our face. Say, "God, I don't even know if you want to hear from me anymore." Let me just say this. He does. He does. But Lord, I don't want a fake Christianity. I don't want a plastic Christianity. I want a real Christianity. I want to have a real relationship with you. I want you to be my best friend. I know that you're my best friend. I want to be the best friend I can be to you. And you know what? The minute that you get there, whether you realize it or not, you probably just heard the greatest sermon on prayer you'll ever hear. Because the minute you get there, talking's easy. Talking's easy. Come on, I raised three daughters. They get one of their friends over for a sleepover. Do you think they slept at night? What were they doing? You know why? They were friends. You always glad to see your friend? Can't wait to get with your friend? Can't wait to get over and talk to your friend? Hey, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to climb the mountain of prayer, may we understand, Lord, that the mountain of prayer is really just a mountain of a relationship. It's a mountain of friendship. It's the mountain of walking with God, having that supernatural encounter. It's that moment where we realize God's real. He didn't have to prove anything to me. He's proved all he needs to prove. It's that moment when we stop taking advantage of your goodness and grace and the advantages of a one-way relationship and decide we want to have a two-way relationship. Oh God, please speak to our hearts. Put it in the heart of a young person, dear God. Put it in the heart of an adult. Lord, just help us to get back to proving our love to you through sacrifice, through prayer, and through a willingness to die just as you were crucified for us, to be willing to be crucified to the flesh and crucified to this world. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you begin to do a supernatural work in our hearts. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If there's someone here that's never been saved, you cannot have a relationship with God until you're saved. You can't have it. You cannot have a relationship with God until you're saved. Preacher, that sounds great. God loved me that much? Yes. I've never been saved. Come this morning and get saved. Come this morning and receive Jesus. Preacher, I am saved. But the honest truth is, I need to do something when it comes to proving to the Lord that His friendship has not been wasted on me. I need to do something. Well, the altar's open.